Thank you, Anthony and Austin. I like the songs you chose. I guess first when I was asked to share, you know, I scratched my head a little bit and my wife said, how are you going to spiritualize this? And I thought, you know, Jesus, he taught a lot with parables and he used examples of the sower and the different kinds of soil and the seed. So Jesus did use examples, I'm not going to just be talking about beekeeping and tell you all how to do beekeeping, but rather what I was asked to share was lessons on bees. So we'll try to draw out parallels, something that fits spiritually and with a verse or something. So that's what I'm going to share a bit about. Another thing that I often, as I look around and I know the feel the time that we're living in, and my burden is for young people to get, one of them would be for them to get interested in nature. Something of something that's real and something that's, you know, when I got in the woods, I enjoy nature a lot, and I've spent a lot of time in nature, and I find myself and I think this is how it should be. It draws me to my Creator. If we can just love nature and enjoy it and do everything, and it can be totally wrong. And we can worship nature almost. That's not, if nature doesn't draw us to our Creator in worship, cause us to worship our Creator, I think that's what God wants us to do with nature. And he has given it to us for our use. Growing up, I grew up on a farm. My grandfather had bees. I never met my grandfather. And then my dad had bees a few years. So I had a little bit of experience as a young boy. And then my mom got a bee sting, and she had a bad reaction to it. And so that was kind of the end of the bees. And so then in about 97, we moved here, and I got off the farm. And about a year later, I made the decision just to get a few colonies for just for our own use, our honey, maybe just a few colonies for our own use, and I just really enjoyed and have had bees ever since. So I would love if young people would, I mean, beekeeping's kind of a difficult, I mean, I don't know how many people are beekeepers. We have one here, Steve Clark, so he can fact check on everything I say. So ask him if you have any questions about what I said. But anyway, there's not very many of us. Sometimes beekeepers are considered a bit eccentric or something. But anyway, as I thought about a verse that I appreciated, it speaks about the creation, is Job 12, 7 through 10, and it says, "But ask now the beast, and they will teach you, the fowls of the air, and they will tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. The fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? And in whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind?" I think if we look at nature, it should draw our heart, our attention to our Creator. One thing that is interesting about a colony of bees, it works together as a community, as an example for us as a body, as a church, needing one another. And a bee, if it flies out and decides to go on his own, it's going to be very short-lived, because they're totally dependent on each other. And we as God's people are members one of another, many members of a body. Genesis 2:18, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Now, maybe he was talking about marriage or a man and a woman, but I think it's still, it would include every one of us. It's not good for us to be alone. God designed it that we should be families or communities, parts of a community. Hebrews 10:25 talks about not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Romans, we are many members of a body with many different functions. And in Acts, the early church had all things in common. I think that's an example of community. Bees, they share their lives together. They can't function without each other. Some examples of how they depend on each other. They depend on each other for food, and they're the only insect that I believe that stays warm year-round. All others, maybe the tropics are different, but here everything else goes into hibernation over winter, except honeybees. They cluster and maintain 93 degrees in their center of their center of their cluster. And this cold winter we had, if you have healthy bees, they don't mind it one bit. They stay alive. If you have sick bees, that's a different story. Then they'll if they're sick, they'll die. Also had to think of John the Baptist. He was a man that lived in the wilderness, and he ate locusts and wild honey, it says. I'm not sure about the locusts, but honey, I guess honey made it taste good. Honey makes anything taste good, I think. My nephew is starting a pizza shop, and he called me up, and he said, "Hey, I want some honey. I'm going to make a topping for the pizza." I don't put honey on my pizza, but maybe I should. And then Jesus, after the resurrection, he ate a piece of fish and honeycomb after his resurrection. So he also ate some honeycomb. In the Old Testament and 1 Samuel, Jonathan, he wasn't aware that the army was not allowed to eat honey. And he found some honey and ate that, partook of that, and it gave him strength. He received strength from that. Another man that ate some honey that violated was Samson. Samson was a Nazarite. He was not allowed to touch a dead animal, and he killed this lion, and we know the story how that as he came back, he went to check out that dead carcass, and here was a swarm of bees in there with honeycomb, and he partook of that. That was his first step, I believe, recorded, where he kind of maybe started his downward journey. And also, Canaan was often depicted as a land flowing with milk and honey, and showing abundance, a place of abundance. I think if there was milk, plenty of milk to drink, that was a sign of abundance. It was going on to, I'm going to talk a little bit about the queen bee. She is the mother of all the bees. And I thought the queen bee is maybe a type of the Holy Spirit in a person or in a colony or in a group, in a church. The Holy Spirit gives life. And, you know, a colony of bees can function without a queen, and everything might look good, but it's only a matter of time until the colony will die. And, you know, we need the Holy Spirit every day. We can go on living without the Holy Spirit, but spiritually we die. And even a church can become just systematic, and God's Spirit departs, and for a time it can continue on. All the bees are females except the drones. The queen, the worker bees are also female, but the queen is the only one that lays the eggs. She can lay 2,000 to 3,000 eggs per day and maintain the population in the colony. Bees are hardworking. Proverbs 6:8 has a verse that talks about the ant. I think you could put the bee in there too. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in harvest. Bees are very hardworking, and as soon as they hatch out, they're put to work. They hatch out, and then a newly hatched out bee can't even sting you. You know, it's they're a house bee. They work on cleaning, keep the hive very, very clean. They do house cleaning first, and then they raise brood, feed the babies, and store honey. As the field bees come in, they'll take the honey from the field bees and put it where it needs to be. In a bee's lifetime, it'll produce about 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. So if you eat every teaspoon of honey you eat, you eat the life savings of 12 bees. The life's work of 12 bees. Their wing beats are 200 beats per second. And they work, let's see here. Yeah, they work in their house bees first. And then after they're finished and hardened up a bit, then they become field bees. Or they also have guard bees, where they sit at the entrance and watch, make sure that no intruder comes in, or a bee from another colony. They smell each other, recognize each other. I don't know how they know, but anything that doesn't belong in that colony, they have guards at the door. They have housekeepers there. They keep the doorkeepers, rather. And then after they become a field bee, they'll be flying out and in search of nectar sources or pollen, and they'll, if they find a good source, they come back and tell the other bees. They can communicate, and they're very efficient. Sometimes there's a flower blooming, and you know it's one that the bees like, and there's no bees on it. It's because there's another flower blooming with much more nectar. So they're very efficient. They go to the nearest and whatever's the best for the moment at producing honey. And they'll work until their wings wear out. Their wings, if you look at the field bees, oftentimes you'll see one with little jagged edges on its wings. And they'll work until their wings get shorter and until they can't fly anymore. And then, so there's no old people's home for bees. They just work their, they work until they're gone. And then that's it. the Bible teaches about, honey teaches about moderation. Proverbs 25:16, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit. Honey is good as it is, it's so good, but just like any good thing, we need to use moderation. They say you can make yourself sick with sugar. Sugar is bad for you, and you can make yourself sick, but with honey, if you eat too much, you'll just throw up. You won't get sick from honey. Remember when I was a small boy, and my dad was capping the honey, and we were extracting, and there's nothing better than this warm, gooey cappings that comes off of the honey. And I was there eating, and I'd come back for another bite and another bite, and he would say to me, "You just better not eat too much of that. You're gonna throw up." Well, that honey was so good, and that night I threw up. I woke up throwing up. There's another thing that bees do. They gather propolis, and they varnish everything inside of the hive gets varnished with propolis, and they cover everything, and it's to sterilize the hive and everything that's in there. Propolis is antibacterial, antimicrobial, and antioxidant. It's a way for them to keep everything sterile, and they collect that from trees and buds. They go out and bring that in, and it says it contains 500 compounds. It's probably one of those things that we don't use that we could. Maybe some of you use it. It's a good medicine. It's for healing wounds and there's just a lot of things. I had a Russian show up at my door one day. He said, "I have a really bad toothache. I need some of the propolis." So I showed him where some bee equipment was, and he was there busily scraping off the glue and to take care of his toothache. And I thought that's a type of what they had in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they had the blood of bulls and goats to cover sin. It covered, but what the bees do, if they have something in their hive, even let's say a mouse comes in and they sting it to death, and now they have a dead mouse. So what do you do with a dead mouse? They'll just go and cover it all with this propolis to just seal all the bacteria away. So to me, I thought that's kind of like the Old Testament. For their sins, they had the blood of bulls and goats, but they don't have what we have in the New Testament. We have the blood of Jesus that washes away our sin, and it also delivers us from the power of sin. And so that was a type there that I have seen. God's word is sometimes referred to as honey. God's word gives us nourishment and enlightenment. Proverbs 16, 24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Another product that honeybees collect is pollen. I don't know how many of you are familiar with pollen or enjoy or use pollen. I don't know. I should have said in the beginning, if any of you have questions, you're welcome to ask me questions. Or if it gets too boring, shut me down too. But anyway, pollen. Pollen is a superfood. It has about between 20 to 40% protein, and it has everything that's good for you. It's a complete food. I guess if it's a complete food, you could live off of pollen. 22 amino acids, 25 minerals, 11 enzymes, 250 different biological substances. And we know what the bees do for pollination. They'll actually pollinate our fruit trees and vegetables and carry pollen from one flower to another and spread the pollen. That way you have better fruit. If you wouldn't have any pollination, you might have an apple that's just half as big or shriveled or really crooked. If you see a really crooked apple, that's one that wasn't pollinated right. I don't think some people say we would starve if there wouldn't be any honeybees, but I don't quite believe that, because wheat and corn and all those things are self-pollinating, and there's a lot of things that self-pollinate, but there are a lot of things that depend on the honeybee for pollination. I sometimes wonder, what were bees like when God created them? Did they sting back then? Or I don't think they stung. I don't know how they were in the creation. I think the sting came with the fall. I would tend to believe that. But bees are not all, they're not, they don't all have a, they don't have a, they have a dark side, you would say. They have a nature that they'll sting. And they'll steal from the weak. If there's a colony that's weak, they will watch their chance to steal. And they'll steal that hive dry in a very short time. So they are robbers. I spoke with a beekeeper at one time. He was, I don't know if he was Ukrainian or Russian or something. But he liked the Africanized bees. If you're familiar with the Africanized bees, they come from Africa, and they're also in the South America. It's too cold for them here. They haven't adapted to our weather here, but they're Africanized, and they're very aggressive. I know of a beekeeper that he liked working with the African bees because they were aggressive. And they would produce a lot more honey than other bees. But what he said they're doing is they'll go into other hives, other colonies, and steal their honey and put it into your own colonies. Now, I don't think I would, Steve has experience with Africanized honeybees. So they're very aggressive, and they'll sting really badly. So I'm glad we don't have African bees up here. We also have invaders that that the bees have to deal with. They're, in more recent years, the tracheal mite infected the bees around here and has done a lot of damage. Another invader is a wax moth. I always think the wax moth is like the devil. He seeks where he can destroy. He goes around and looks for a weak colony to destroy. And also, he likes darkness. If you have your bee equipment in that you're not using, you put it in a dark place, like maybe in the corner of the garage, the wax moth will be sure to get in there and destroy everything. And if you put it out, I like to store mine where there's lots of sunlight and fresh air, and I have no problem with the moth, because they love darkness rather than light. Another thing that we deal with is food fraud. I have a verse to go with that. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "Know them that labor among you." And, you know, I think of it sometimes. I have the King James Version, and it is Old English, sometimes hard to understand. And we have many different versions, but my question is sometimes, are they all sound, or is there, has someone done research? Is there a recommended study version we should use, or can we just read any version? Is there any danger of God's word being tainted with different translations? I don't know. It's just a question that I have. I think it would be great if someone would have an opinion on a good, you know, this is one that's really good to use for study. Or, but anyway, nowadays we have a lot of food fraud, where you go to the store and you buy this honey, and you think you're buying honey, but you're buying corn syrup. I'm told that you can put 100% or pure honey on a label and still have a certain percentage of added sweetener. That's one thing that's I know the imported honey, the Chinese are really good at doing things. In our country, we only produce 1/3 of our own honey. So 2/3 of our honey comes from other countries. And China was deregulated, so they're not allowed to sell us honey, because they're allowed to use any pesticide or chemical they want. So they have learned how to ship it to another country, put another label on it, and then it comes here again. And then we can check, take the honey and look where what for pollen's in the honey, and we can determine where it comes from. Well, then they go and heat it and super filter it so that there's no pollen in there, so now we can't tell where it comes from. And it's quite difficult to, it can be done with testing. You can test honey and see how much, if there's corn syrup in it, but it's expensive, and my guess is that most of it doesn't ever get tested, because who's going to spend money to test honey to make sure it doesn't have corn syrup in it? So know those that labor among you. Know your beekeeper. Make sure he doesn't put corn syrup in, and he doesn't, because that's a very frustrating thing for beekeepers. It keeps the honey price way down, because corn syrup is very, very cheap. And if you put half corn syrup in, think of all the money a packer could make by adding corn syrup. So know those that labor among you, and that's a principle that should be applied with, you know, listening to preachers or God's word being preached. Is it's so readily available, but we don't really know is every preacher, is every message out there one that is good for us, or is there, Jesus warned us that in the end times there would be teachers that, teach incorrectly and things that are not right. And so I think it's good that we know them that labor among us. And that's about all that I'm going to share about. That's about all I have this evening. I could share a lot more about beekeeping, but it wasn't really a lesson on beekeeping. There's many books you can read, and I don't know. I would encourage young people to, if you're interested in beekeeping, do. It would be a good hobby. It'd be much better than maybe an electronic hobby. It'd be something that would be real. But I know that some days I'm out there and it's hot and the bees get mad and I'm getting stung and I'm thinking, what in the world? Why am I doing this? This is torture. But a few facts about honey. Honey was found in Egyptian tombs 3,000 years old and still edible. I had a friend once told me that someone gave me some honey and it spoiled. And I asked him a little more, are you sure it spoiled? And yeah, it got all white and sugary and he threw it away. Well, that was good honey. Good honey will crystallize. Your honey that stays nice and clear for a long, long time is either locust honey or corn syrup. The spring locust honey sometimes stays a couple years before it crystallizes, but then others crystallize very quickly. But usually if you have crystallized honey, it's probably a good chance that it's real honey. So, now that you're all really hungry for honey, why, I did bring some honey along that you can fellowship out there and enjoy some honey, and I have a couple of different flavors of. It's all my own honey except the clover. I got some Western clover honey. I think it's almost the best honey you can find, but we don't have good clover honey here. So, and I also have some comb honey.